Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. As always, we appreciate you listening every Sunday night to Bible Crossfire. We deal with what the Bible actually has to say on different topics, religious issues, whatever is of interest to the audience. We're going to try to give a book, chapter, and verse to prove what the truth is. After all, Jesus said, "You are my disciples indeed, if you continue in my word, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Talking about being made free from sin. John 8, verse 31 and 32. So we're only Jesus' disciples, true disciples, if we continue in his word. We can say that we believe in Christ, but if we don't do what he says, we're not really his disciple. We're not really following him. And we have to know and practice the truth to be set free from sin, according to John 8:32. Just like 2 + 2 cannot be 4 and 5 at the same time in mathematics, two different answers to the same religious question are not both right. Two different preachers teaching two different things, they can't be both correct. The Bible only teaches one thing. We can't have churches standing for different things and both be right. We have to follow what the Bible says. As the announcer said, if you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. While we're waiting on our first call, I thought we'd talk about the idea of one that is talked about a lot in religious circles, the idea of being regenerated or being born again. John 3, verse 3, reads this way. Jesus answered and said unto him, talking about Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Being born again. I hear people talk about being born again Christians. Well, that's the only type of Christian there is, really. If you're not born again, you're really not a Christian. That's what the Bible means when it talks about being regenerated. Born again. Now, born again is an analogy or a parallel to being born physically. A new innocent baby, for example. Except we're talking spiritually. This new innocent baby that's just been born, he's clean, he has no dirt on him. And in the same way, when we're born again, spiritually, we're clean from sin. We're clean. We're born again. We're a new creature. And we're going to see some of that terminology as we go forth. Now, being born again means two things. And I'm going to borrow an analogy from 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, where it talks about the pig going back into the mire. The pig that was washed going back into the wallowing in the mire. Now, I don't know why anybody would want to wash a pig, but suppose that you did, and that's what 2 Peter 2:22 is considering. If you washed a pig, you're going to have to keep him out of the mud to maintain his cleanliness. To have a clean pig, two things have to be true. One, you got to wash all the mud off of him. Two, you got to keep him out of the mud after that. For example, if you wash all the mud off of him, but don't keep him out of the mud, soon he's going to be dirty again. Or, on the other hand, if you were to keep him out of the mud, but never wash the mud off of him, he's not going to be clean. So you got to get that mud cleaned off and then keep the pig out of the mud. It's the same way with being born again, becoming a Christian, being a Christian. To be clean, in God's eyes, we first have to have our sins forgiven. That's parallel to the pig being washed. Secondly, we have to stay out of the mud. We have to stay out of the sins of the world. Because even if we're forgiven of our sins, if we go back into the sins of the world, we're going to be dirty again. We're going to be muddy again. So, born again means two different things. And let's start with the second one from the analogy. You have to become a new or different person in the way you live. Once you become a Christian, you can't just go back into the ways of the world. You have to live a different way. You have to stay out of the mud. You have to change your life from sin to following Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So we become new. The old things that are passed away is our old sinful self. We got to live a different way. Romans 6 verse 4 tells us, talks about walking in newness of life. Verse 6, our old man is crucified with him that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Verse 17 and 18, ye were the servants of sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. So when we become a Christian, we walk in newness of life. The old man of sin is crucified. We're going to quit that man of sin. We're committed to stop sinning and start living the way Christ wants us to live. If you don't make that commitment, you've never became a Christian. That it says that the body of sin might be destroyed. That's up to us. We have to destroy that body of sin. That henceforth we should not serve sin. That's our choice. We have to serve God, serve righteousness instead of serving sin. A Christian, it would be accurate to say this about him. You were the servants of sin, but you became the servants of righteousness. You have to live a different way if you're going to become a Christian. Or a Christian must live a different way if he's going to be a Christian. Jim from Iowa, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, from the local newspaper here in town, there's a woman that works there. She has a column every week or so. And anyway, in her column this week, she tells about on Halloween how she talks to the people who have died. She tries to get a hold of them. And I need some Bible verses from you. I know there's one that says that people who have died don't know what's going on earth. I need that verse and maybe some others you can help me with so I can maybe help her.
Well, the first one that comes to my mind is in Luke 16, the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Are you familiar with that story?
Yeah.
It talks about the rich man and Lazarus. They're in Hades, and basically it describes two different compartments. One is called torments. That's where the rich man is. Lazarus is in what's called comforts. And so the rich man wants Abraham to go back and warn his five brothers. Verse 28 of Luke 16. And Abraham says to him in verse 29, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. So we can't go back. We're not going to have people come back from the dead and talk to us from the dead, according to this passage. You can't... Abraham can't go back and warn people about what's coming up with the judgment. People are going to have to read the Bible, God's Word, to find out what their eternal destinies might be, heaven or the bad place. You follow what I'm saying, Jim?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. What about the verse that tells that the people who have died don't know what's going on earth?
Yeah, that's in the book of Ecclesiastes. You want me to try to find that for you?
Yeah, I need that one.
Well, I tell you what, so I can go on with the program. Could I get it to you later?
Yeah, well, as long as I know what book it's in, I can look it up. How many chapters?
Well, it's definitely in Ecclesiastes, and it basically says they don't know what's going on under the sun. So
yeah,
people who are dead don't know what's going on back on earth.
Yeah,
you follow what I'm saying?
That she says her dad knows what she's doing on earth. That's why I needed that one.
Mm-hmm.
Samuel, there's some stuff too. Tells him it's like being a witch or something too, isn't it?
Say that again.
In Samuel, it tells you're not supposed to about when somebody really does. It's called familiar spirit. Is that what it's called? Familiar spirit.
Yeah, Jim. I tell you what. Could you send me an email afterwards, and we'll get those verses to you.
Yeah. Well, I don't have a computer, so.
Okay. What about a phone? You want me to call you after the program?
If you don't mind, that's fine with me.
Is the last four digits of your telephone number 8143?
Yep, you got it.
So I'm going to call you tonight after the program and give you those verses in Ecclesiastes and also where it talks about Samuel and the witch and everything, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you a lot, Jim, for your call.
Okay.
So we're talking about being born again, how that a person, after he becomes a Christian, has to live a certain way. Another passage I would like to bring up in that vein is Colossians 3, 9 through 10. It says, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And so once we become a Christian, or as we're becoming a Christian, we're committing to putting off the old man with his deeds, putting off the man of sin. That's we have to choose to live a different way. We put on the new man. That's us trying to follow Christ instead of following the lead of the devil. We live a different way. It's analogous to that keeping that pig out of the mud after the pig has been washed. We've become a Christian. We've been forgiven of our sins. But if we just go back and live and continue in those sins, we're going to get dirty again. And that washing won't really have done us any good. Now, what we've been talking about here is really repentance and following through on that repentance. You remember in Acts 2:38, Peter told those on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. So you had to repent and be baptized to get the forgiveness of sins. Repenting of their sins. You have to make a commitment to change your life. That's what we're talking about. After you become a Christian, you must follow up on that commitment that you made to change your life. As I said, this is what you do after you get forgiveness. You start living a different life, a clean life. But back to the first point about forgiveness, you know, no matter how clean a person starts living, we won't be clean unless we have received forgiveness for the sins we've committed in the past. You can keep a pig out of the mud, but if you hadn't washed him to start with, he's still not going to be clean. And so the first thing that has to happen is forgiveness of sins, and that's God's part. We don't forgive our own sins. We don't cleanse ourselves from our own sins. God forgives us of our sins. Then we live a different life. Let's go back to Romans 6, 3 through 4. And by the way, if you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. So Romans 6, 3 through 4 reads this way. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Well, here we have that phrase, the newness of life, crucifying the old man. That was the being the new person that's part of being born again. Well, we're talking now about the initial part of being born again, being forgiven. Well, this passage in Romans 6, 3 through 4 shows that newness of life, that walking in newness of life, begins when we're baptized. The beginning of our newness of life begins when we're baptized into Christ, Romans 6, 3 through 4. So being born again starts at baptism. That's when we're forgiven. And then we're to act like a new creature, like a different person, like a Christian after we're baptized. That's what we're committing to when we are baptized, to live a different way, to not go back into the ways of the world. God is going to forgive us of our sins when we're baptized based upon the death of Christ, and then we're committed to live a different way, to not go back and live that same way. So we read John chapter 3, verse 5. We read verse 3 a while ago. This is where Jesus elaborates upon being born again. It says, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So being born again, if you parallel verse 3 with verse 5 in John 3, being born again involves being born of water and of the Spirit. Now, what is water referring to here? Well, there's only one thing of spiritual significance in the New Testament that involves water. That's water baptism. Water baptism. That's the only thing of spiritual significance. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 3 and read verse 21. 1 Peter 3:21, I think, would help us to see that. It's been talking about Noah. Eight souls were saved by or through water, verse 20. It says in verse 21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So you see, baptism, and it's obviously talking about water baptism because it's paralleled with Noah and the flood and the water there being saved through water. Baptism saves us. That doesn't mean that it earns our salvation. We all know the death of Christ is what earns our salvation. But what it means is that if we want to be saved by the blood of Christ, we have to be baptized. And that matches up perfectly with what we read in John 3, verse 3 and 5 about you must be born again to be saved. Well, he elaborates, he details that in verse 5 when he says you must be born of water and the Spirit. Born of water would refer to baptism, as we see when we compare John 3, 5 with passages like 1 Peter 3:21. We already quoted Acts 2:38, where Peter said to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. So a person has to repent of their sins, they have to be baptized. When they do that, they're baptized in water, they're born of water, they're born again. So they've begun the life that they're supposed to live in submission to Christ. God forgives them when they believe and are baptized. Isn't that what Mark 16:16 says? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. God forgives them, so they're clean. And then they have to start living a different way to stay clean. Stay clean. That doesn't mean a person is necessarily going to live perfectly after that. Nobody does. Christ did, but nobody else does. But when they sin, they're dirty again and they need forgiveness. And so a Christian, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're expected to repent of our sins after we become a Christian. Acts 8, verse 22. We can't just continue in our sins. That's like the pig that was washed in the mire returning back to it, getting muddy again. One other passage on baptism, which helps to clear this up. You remember Ananias told Saul in Acts chapter 22, verse 16, and now why tarriest thou? Or the way we'd say that in Alabama is, what you waiting on? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So Saul, who later became known as Paul, wrote practically half the books in the New Testament. Saul believed on the road to Damascus 3 days before that, but he was still in his sins at least 3 days later, and Ananias told him to get baptized to get his sins washed away. See, it just matches up with Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's part of the born-again process. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then two verses later, he says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So being born again involves being born of water and of the Spirit. That's being baptized in water according to the teaching of the Spirit. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. Bible question or comment, feel free to call us at 877-655-6755. 1 Peter 1:23 is the only other passage that I remember that mentions this idea of being born again in those words, except for in John 3. In 1 Peter 1:23, it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Well, that matches up with John chapter 3, verse 5. Being born of water and the Spirit. In other words, we're baptized in water according to the teaching of the Spirit. This verse says we're born again by the Word of God. The Word of God, God's Word, the Bible, persuades us to change our life, to be born again, to be a different person, to crucify the old man of sin, to become a new creature. And since the Word of God persuades us to do that, and when we are convinced and we do that, then it's correct to say, it's appropriate to say that we're born again by the Word of God. Now, this is not done through a miracle per se, but through the power of the gospel. Remember Romans 1:16? The gospel is the power of God into salvation. How about one of my favorite passages in this connection, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. Verse 10 is talking about how that we're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in our body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We're going to be judged based upon what we did, good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. So verse 11 says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Well, that's one of the reasons we have this program. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We're trying to persuade them they need to live a certain way. They need to accept Christ and obey Christ. As this famous song says, trust and obey Christ, so that they can receive the benefits of the death of Christ. Christ died for everybody. But atheists aren't going to receive the benefits of his death. No. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So those who believe and are baptized, those who believe and obey, those who trust and obey, they're the ones that meet the condition of salvation, and therefore they're the ones that are going to receive the benefits of Christ's death. John 6, 44 and 45, it says, Jesus says, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Well, you might think, oh, well, so it is a miracle that a person is persuaded or becomes persuaded to be born again. No. In verse 45, it says, "It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of me, of the Father, cometh unto me." So the Father draws people to him. But how does he do it? Through learning and the teaching of God's Word. Just like we read in 2 Corinthians 5:11, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men with divine persuasion," if we use God's Word. Again, the number to call if you have a Bible question or comment is 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755 if you have a Bible question or comment. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 15, we read this: "For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, ye have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." People are begotten, they become born again through the gospel. Well, that matches up with Romans 10:17. "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Jim from the state of Washington, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, wondering if we are still bound to keep the Sabbath, seventh-day Sabbath.
Well, Jim, let me read you a passage. We're going to have to go off the air in about 3 minutes, but let me read you a passage, and you tell me if this is pretty clear on this subject. I'm starting in Colossians 2:14, and it's talking about Christ. It says, "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." So here we're talking about Jesus blotting out some ordinances, taking them out of the way, and nailing them to his cross. So these ordinances that Jesus blotted out, Jim, does it sound like we still have to keep those ordinances or not?
Well, not if it's the Mosaic Law, but the Sabbath was created by God when he created the earth, so that's why I'm wondering if...
Yeah, well, this verse says whatever ordinances he's talking about, it says Jesus blotted them out, took them out of the way, and nailed them to the cross. That's Colossians 2:14. Now skip down to verse 16, and he's going to name some examples of these ordinances that were blotted out, nailed to the cross, taken out of the way. He says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink." That's the daily observances. "Respect of a holy day." That's the yearly observances, like Passover and Pentecost, the holy days. "Or of the new moon." That's the monthly. And then the last one is, "Or the Sabbath day." So, the Sabbath is specifically mentioned in Colossians 2:14 through 17 as being one of the ordinances that Jesus blotted out, took out of the way, and nailed to the cross. You follow my reasoning, Jim?
I do.
Write that down, Colossians 2:14 through 17, and also look up, if you have some, Romans 7:4 through 7. Thank you for your call, Jim.
You're welcome. Thank you.
We don't have a lot of time left, but we're going to try to take Dennis in Kansas City. Go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, you said a few moments ago that Paul, when he was approached by Jesus on the road to Damascus, was converted there, but his sins weren't forgiven until 3 days later when he was baptized. Is that correct?
I didn't say he was converted. I said he believed on the road to Damascus. We see that Acts 9, for example. But yes, he was still in his sins until Acts 22:16.
Okay, then you're saying that you have to be baptized to have your sins forgiven.
Yeah, remember we read Acts 22:16, "Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins."
Okay, what are you going to do when Jesus forgave the thief on the cross when he said, "Today you will be with me in paradise"? Do you think that
Dennis, thief? We're going to do the same thing with him. We're going to do the same thing with him that we'll do with.
It's Jesus' work on the cross alone that gives you salvation.
So we're going to do the same thing with the thief on the cross that we're going to do with Abraham and Moses and Joshua. Those people didn't have to be baptized. They lived under the Old Testament law. We're talking about the New Testament law here. The thief and Jesus himself lived under the Old Testament law when baptism wasn't required. But once we get to after the cross in the New Testament law, Jesus says clearly, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's pretty clear.